Welcome to Bookin' It. Today's episode will be The Resurrection in Storytelling. Hey everyone, and welcome back to Bookin' It. I'm your eloquent host, Cooper Cobbs. And today I'll be doing a brief solo episode about the resurrection of Christ and how that impacts the stories that we hear, see, and read. If this is your first time, welcome to the podcast. Typically we have three other people as well, and we talk about a book, and we have an awesome discussion. But today, after this Easter weekend, I just wanted to do a brief episode about the resurrection of Christ and how that's going to play out in our storytelling. Well, I hope that you guys also had a wonderful Easter. I had a wonderful Easter as well. Good Friday service and Sunday morning service as well, and a wonderful lunch with all my family. So it was an incredible Easter, celebrating Christ's resurrection. I hope that you all had a wonderful Easter as well. But today, since this is a book podcast, I wanted to talk about the resurrection as it relates to the stories that we experience. It's no surprise to anybody who's Christian, but the resurrection is the climax of the cosmic narrative that we find ourselves a part of. It is the answer to the struggles of the people in the Old Testament who were looking at in anticipation, in faith, for what God was going to do. And for everybody else, it was the arrival of the Savior who could save everyone from their sins that we could not save ourselves from. And so the resurrection is the answer to all of those things. It is the declaration that sin and death no longer have any hold over us. Christ's atonement accomplished the death of sin, accomplished the death of the guilt that we have. And the resurrection is the answer that will continue to exist forever, that we have eternal life now if we place our faith in Christ. So it is the full answer to all the problems that we face. It's the climax of the story that God is telling. And of course, because it's the climax to the great story, it's going to appear in the stories that we tell as humans as well. As J.R.R. Tolkien called us, sub-creators. We're going to imitate as sub-creators our creator telling the cosmic story. And of course, recently, in a book that we were reviewing, The Aeneid, we saw Aeneas, the main character, go down into Hades, into the underworld, just like Odysseus did in the Odyssey. And he learned something there, and he came up a new man. And some people have put a name to a kind of storytelling structure that we see everywhere called the hero's journey. Joseph Campbell, kind of coming after Carl Jung and the kind of Freudian psychoanalysis kind of people, he analyzed stories and found that the common theme in these stories was called the hero's journey, that this hero embarks on a quest and at one point has to undergo a sort of resurrection, has to die in some sort of way and rise again in some sort of way as well. So we see the resurrection everywhere. Even before the resurrection itself, as I mentioned with the Aeneid, we see death to life. We see that kind of pattern. So as Christians, we acknowledge this as true, but what should be our response? What should be our response to seeing the resurrection everywhere? Well, first, I think that it's important to note that as responsible, you know, people engage with stories, we don't want to praise that piece of art just automatically, because it has some element of a Christ figure, because it has some element of resurrection. That means that story is perfect. It also doesn't mean that when we see a story with resurrection, we see a story that's all about resurrection, and it's told by a Christian, that we can affirm everything in there as well. Like, we know that there is goodness, truth, and beauty, and all those must be present. But just because the resurrection is in a story doesn't mean it automatically has goodness, truth, and beauty. So we shouldn't praise it wholeheartedly, automatically, because we see a resurrection. But that being said, that qualification being said, we should draw attention to the broader patterns of the world that we live in. God has written certain patterns into this world. We respond to certain things. Our bodies, our minds are meant to respond to certain things in the world. And so when we experience a resurrection in a story, it works for us. Why? Because the resurrection is the climax to God's story. And because our human hearts, fallen though they are, can't help but respond to elements of the truth, can't help but respond to the elements of the resurrection. So we need to draw attention to the patterns that we see. So let's kind of dive into those two points. First, let's not just praise it wholeheartedly, automatically, because we see a resurrection. So to take an example, Harry Potter, right? In the last book, Harry Potter kind of undergoes a sort of resurrection, right? He dies and comes back to life. Now, does that mean Harry Potter is a Christ figure? Does that mean that everything in Harry Potter should automatically be affirmed? No, of course not. Harry Potter is a good story. I think so. I'm willing to defend it over and against many Christians who might think it not wise to read. But the reality is that Harry Potter does have some mistakes, and we can talk about those. It doesn't mean that because Harry has a resurrection, we need to affirm all his behavior. In fact, probably my main problem with a lot of the Harry Potter books is that he gets away with a lot, that he is a brat, and that we are supposed to cheer and root for the brat. And Jesus is definitely not like that. He is definitely not like that. So at the end of the day, we can see Harry Potter has a resurrection theme, as most stories do, but we can't just affirm everything in it. We need to interact deeper. We can't just do a kind of broad, oh, look at that Christ figure, look at the love shown. We need to engage responsibly with the stories being presented to us and analyze it and see if it has goodness, truth, and beauty. And that's part of what our podcast is trying to do. Another example is Neo in the Matrix. Neo is a popular example of the Messiah trope. We have a chosen one, and I think one of the movies is even called, Matrix Resurrections. But at the same time, other people have also tried to claim this movie. The transgender movement has tried to claim this movie as an example of something that supports their side, a piece of storytelling that is powerful for their side. And I think that, like watching the movie, you can kind of see it as well. So we need to be careful not to affirm just because something has a Christian theme, like a resurrection, like a Messiah, like a chosen one. We can't just affirm everything in that story. We need to engage responsibly with it. But secondly, with that kind of, like I say, qualification made, we need to draw attention to the patterns. I'm reading a book right now called Dominion by Tom Holland. You might have heard of it. It is a book by a secular historian, but who is kind of tracing and acknowledging the magnificent impact, that a positive impact that Christianity has had upon our Western values. And not only our Western values, but also our Western intuitions as well. He actually includes a bit about Richard Dawkins, who's a famous atheist, who is hearing church bells and tweets out, like, this is so much more beautiful than the sound of Allahu Akbar or another Muslim prayer. He says that this Christian thing is actually more beautiful than another type of religion with which I am not enculturated. And so he points out that our Western culture has been shaped by Christian intuitions. And so we should acknowledge that in our storytelling as well. Say, look, that is because of Christianity's influence. We see that person willing to suffer and not inflict suffering precisely because we live in a Christian culture. And we should acknowledge that is a positive change. Reading the Iliad, those people would not rather suffer than inflict suffering. They would rather inflict suffering. But Christ is the first person to radically change that narrative, to radically say, listen, it is better to suffer, to receive suffering, and by so doing, die and rise again, rather than to inflict suffering unduly upon another person. So we should understand that the resurrection narrative is shaped onto our intuitions broadly as humanity, but also onto our Western culture. I think that ultimately, Eastern myths don't have the same Christian themes like Western myths do, because the East has not been as shaped by Christianity's influence, and I think we need to change that. I think we need to embark on trying to share the gospel there even more, trying to spread the gospel even in the darkest corners of the earth, because we can see that in the West we have these Christian intuitions that shape how we tell stories. I think oftentimes also when we tell a story that does not reflect the way that Christ lived and died and rose again, does not reflect the way that God told his story, that I think it's unsatisfying for us. I think that nihilistic endings are just unsatisfying completely. Bryson and I actually, a member of this podcast, if you're new, was we're watching a movie, and Tanner had fallen asleep at this point. And we were kind of excited to see it. It'd be a movie we'd heard about before. And at the end of the movie, it's just this dark, depressing, nihilistic end. And I thought that it was going to examine its, supposed nihilism like further, but nope, just basic nihilism is kind of the answer that it gave. And it was really depressing and not a good ending. And we realized that this is just because this is the dark, depressing worldview of someone who doesn't believe in the resurrection. If someone doesn't believe in the resurrection, there is no hope. There's no answer but nihilism or hedonistic nihilism. And so the reality is the pattern we see in the world is when a movie has a depressing ending, a nihilistic ending, I think that honestly, it in our hearts, it doesn't work. We don't like it. That's why the best movies, the best stories, the ones that do the best, the ones that are the best, are the ones that have resurrection as a theme, because it's a pattern that relates to the human heart. And I think that from some people who try to embrace the nihilistic themes are people who want to feel cool, want to feel like, yeah, man, I know that nihilism is a hard worldview, and I know that rejecting Christ and Christianity is not the fun way to go, but man, you gotta own up to the hard truths of reality, man, and reject all those fairy tales. And that can be appealing to a certain type of person, but if in your heart of hearts you know that that bad ending is not really what it's supposed to be like, and I think that this comes back to the biggest problem that Christianity faces, which is the problem of evil. And it's a big place in our stories, right? We see a character struggle, a character oftentimes go from a good event to a bad event, and have to come out of that better, right? That's kind of the story that we see. We see people, and actually the hero's journey I was talking about earlier, someone who lives an idyllic life has to undergo a sort of metamorphosis and transformation through pain, through suffering, and come out the other side better, but changed and different. And so the problem of evil, for those of you who aren't aware, is just if God is all good and all powerful, why doesn't he stop evil? But I think the answer can be found actually in stories. Because when we see stories of people who go through trial, go through suffering, and then come out the other side better, that is exactly what resonates most with us. That's the resurrection. The resurrection is the ultimate answer to the problem of evil. It is God coming down in man, coming down to become a man, to die for us, and to redeem the problem of evil, to transform it, to say that death cannot win anymore. Death has no sting. Death has no power. That's the resurrection. And that answers everything about the problem of evil. It transforms it into something greater. Death can become something greater in life. Suffering can become something greater in endurance and character building. And we see that play out in stories. I mean, the obvious example is Lord of the Rings. It's the obvious example of people struggle, of people going through tough times. Of Frodo saying, man, I wish this had not happened in my time. But Gandalf tells him, all you can do is to decide what to do with the times that are given you. And so he does. He decides to become a better person. He decides to reject his wishes and go on this quest and go on this ultimate sacrifice and ultimately die in some sense, undergo this wraith bite, undergo all his trials and tribulations. And he comes out the other side better, having redeemed the world and things like that. And so we can see the problem of evil answered in Lord of the Rings. This dark time, these people wrestling with the suffering, but coming out the other end better for it, and the world's better for it as well. And answered because of the resurrection theme that we can see. I think that some storytellers are honest about this. They see that there is suffering, there is tribulation, there is evil. But the reality is you can't say that something is suffering, something is evil, without acknowledging the existence of a transcendent God. Because if God doesn't exist, well then, suffering is good. I mean, if anything is good, suffering is good. That's how evolution came about. That's how the world was created, just by rocks smashing together, by animals mass dying, all these kind of things. Suffering is the way that the universe has shaped itself, this mindless force. And that is a hopeless worldview. It's much better to say that suffering and evil exist for a purpose, and that purpose will be greater than the evil itself. That's something that we can admit. I think that some storytellers are actually honest about this as well. They say, you know, this world is dark, but there is something in it that I can't put into words, but it is hopeful. And I was reading The Road by Cormac McCarthy, who is a modern author. He's written some very nihilistic things before. But in The Road, it's the main character of the dad and his son going through this hellish landscape, traveling along the road in this post-apocalyptic, you know, madhouse, basically. And they're trying to fend for themselves and find food and live, with everything else just falling apart around them and evil people. But in the midst of it, the son represents all that is good in the world. And the father realizes that there is good in the world and it is worth fighting for, as Samwise Gamgee has told us. And he realizes that the sun is the one who's to carry the fire. That's the metaphor they use, to carry the fire, to carry all that is good in the world, to carry hope. And it ends on a very hopeful note. I won't spoil it, but I think it ends very hopefully. And so Cormac McCarthy, although he does not believe in God, as far as I'm aware, he recently died as well, tells us that there is something about this world, that even in the worst scenario, it's worth hoping that there's something better. It's worth hoping that there is something good in the world. And the resurrection is that hope. Even on Saturday night, we can hope that Christ has prophesied that he will rise again if we trust in him, and he will prove himself, as he did, rising again on the third day. So the problem of evil can be answered in the resurrection, and we see that all the time in stories. So to conclude, the resurrection is the most glorious event in God's story. It is the shining gem, the diadem, the climax to the ultimate story, the cosmic narrative that God is weaving. And in our imitation stories, the stories that we tell, we can expect to see it too, and we should see it. And it is a beautiful thing when it's done well, when it's not done ham-fistedly, when it's done with a good storyteller behind the wheel like it is with Tolkien or someone else like that. But also, we should respond responsibly. We should understand that there will be Christian themes because we live in a Western culture shaped by Western Christian intuitions. So we need to interact with the material responsibly, engage it, examine it, see if it is worth interacting with, see if it's worth engaging further. We need to examine whether there's truth, goodness, and beauty in a story before we can recommend it, affirm it, and draw something out of it worthy. But I think that resurrection will appear in our stories. We should acknowledge that and point out to the world, like, hey, our hearts are ordered in such a way as to respond to the resurrection. Maybe that tells us something about the truth, the validity of the resurrection of Christ. And ultimately, I believe that it is. I think that the goodness and the beauty of the resurrection and how our hearts respond to the goodness and beauty of it points to, ultimately, its truth. And I think that its truth is the most glorious thing in the world. 1 Corinthians 15. It's just a marvelous passage because it speaks to that. It speaks to the fact that Christ has risen from the dead, that the dead can be raised, that Christ is the first fruits of what we in Christ will experience if we place our faith in him. And so I think that's just a marvelous thing, the resurrection is. And I think that it is the ultimate reason for living, knowing that suffering and evil have a purpose, knowing that our sins can be taken away, and that we have a savior who lives, and think that we should expect to see that and should see that in the stories that we tell. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to that podcast. I think that we'll be back next week with some other episode. Our school, our co-op was off this past week because we meet on Fridays. So we don't want to meet on the Friday. But we should be back next week with a full episode of All of Us On. But I hope you enjoyed this little rant or analysis of the resurrection storytelling. And I hope to see you soon. Keep on looking.